All right, we're going to start here on the top of Kuf Yud Bet Amud Aleph, about six lines down. Before we start, it has some relevance to the beginning of today's daf, but since we spent the last 2-3 days on Zugot, I just wanted to give you some of the views of the Rishonim and the Achronim with regards to Zugot, putting it together. What's interesting is that there are different approaches. You find at first the approaches of the Rishonim, including the Rashbam, then you can see it also in the Rav Yah as well, which is that when the Gemara says over here, Klalo de Milto, that the general principle is that kol delo kapitalei, someone who doesn't worry about them, they don't worry about him. And then the other way around, if you worry about them, as the Rashbam says, too much, then they worry about you. Despite that fact, the Rashbam writes a small disclaimer there, as well as on the next daf, that we still worry a little bit. Otherwise, why would the Gemara have brought this at all? Even if you think that the whole point of putting the Zugot in here is to tell us that it really doesn't matter, then that's all you needed to write. You don't have to tell us all these stories. You don't have to tell us all this information. And therefore, the Rashbam says that even though your person is not makpid alehem, you still have to be choshesh for it. In other words, you have to consider it, even though it may not be a major issue. And that includes for the issue of kshafim, according to the Rashbam. The Rav Yoh also writes in a similar fashion. The Rav Yoh says that even though l'chadchila, we don't worry about it, but b'diavad, you need to think about this, you need to consider it. The Sefer Aruch in Erech Asparagus, which was one of the drinks that was discussed here, that's not mitzdaref because it's a refu'ah. So over there he quotes Rav Haigon, and he says that from Rav Haigon it says, Ramar Gon, Hani mili damirin bei mishum sakanat mazikim, davinihige bei v'hashta lo nefishe ki ha'idno. They're just not found like they were in their time. So the Rav Hai is the first to introduce this idea that whatever was transpiring at the time of Chazal, he says, in our time, they're not really around anymore, or it's not relevant for us because we don't see these mazikim, we don't bump into them. Tosafot is the one who really pushes this position, which is there's a Tosafot in Masechet Yoma in the last perek, as well as a Tosafot in Chulin, who comments on this issue of Ruach Ra. There the Gemara discusses Ruach Ra, which we also discussed at the end of yesterday's daf. We're going to bump into it again today. In today's daf, beginning of today's daf, this idea of Ruach Ra. And over there, Tosafot describes something about this Shivuta, which is a Shifta, which is a type of Ruach Ra. Rashi describes it one way, and then Rabbeinu Tam takes issue with it. Then in the end, Tosafot says, after he gives the explanation, he says, well, once I've done that, Umasha Ulam, Ein Yizharim Achshav Bazeh, why does nobody care about this? After this is my explanation for it, then why is there nobody worried about this issue, which I'm talking about? You have to wash your hands, you're not allowed to give food to a child. There's a whole issue. And he says, the reason that nobody worries about it is because, fish, ein ota ruach ra'a shora be'ilu ha-malchiyot. Moshe nizarim al ha-gilui ve'al-zugot. Says, this ruach ra'a does not appear in our areas, our neighborhoods. Just like we don't worry about gilui, which is water that's left exposed overnight. And just like we don't worry about the Zugot. So Tosafot takes that position of Rav Haigon to its ultimate conclusion, which is, this stuff doesn't show up in our neighborhood. We never see any of this stuff, and since we don't see any of this stuff, means that it's not relevant. It can't be relevant. What's interesting is that the Rav Tzadok, in his tshuva, writes that Tosafot over here, how did Tosafot know this? He says, well, it's not because Tosafot were Bikiyim in Zugot that they actually knew that they weren't in the neighborhood. He says they made an assumption. Since nobody gets injured or nobody has this problem, so the assumption is that there is no Zugot, there's no problem of Ruach Ra. But it's not because they were so certain that there was nobody around or they knew anything about Zugot. It's just that they figured that since nobody is getting hurt by it and nobody worries about it, must be that the people have a Mesorah not to worry about it. And someone along the way, some of the Bikim figured this out, that it's not an issue. Because if Chazal, and his discussion over there is if Chazal assert something or said something's problematic, how come we can ignore it? How come we don't deal with it? So he talks about the different things that Dover B'minyon, which is something that's a Gzeirat Chachamim or Tachanat Chachamim. There he talks about something like, for instance, fish and meat together, which we saw earlier in the Masechta. How come over there people are still makpid on that? As well as on the issue of Mayim Migulim, which is brought down by all the poskim. And then this whole section of the Gemara, everybody ignores. This is, that was something that had an Ikar Gzeirah that's associated with it. And since it had an Iker Gzeira associated with it, then it's a Dover Shemin Minyan, which then requires, we're going to see this terminology from the Gemara in Beitza, that Dover Shemin Minyan, Tzorech Minyan Acher L'Hatiro. And you have to be careful, then you can't just willy-nilly get rid of it. So he says that these issues are not like that.
Though he does conclude that none of these issues were issues in Teva. He says, Ein kan hishtanut tivit klau, umalam lo haya baze sakanat tivit. These weren't sakanot in terms of the natural order, but rather these are ruchani issues, and that's why they can change from location to location or time to time. And that's why we're still makpid on dag and basar, where the ruach ra or the davar acher that comes from that, and not other things, because the poskim determined that those things or that ruach ra is still extant or still problematic. And the chachamim are like doctors in the physical world with regards to the spiritual world of the ruach ra'ah. And when they warn us about something, there's an obligation to be careful, because there's nishmartum nafshu techem. Just like you have to listen to a doctor, so do you have to listen to the spiritual doctor who tells you to stay away from these things that are ruach ra'ah.
So the two people that take a much more positive view of the zugot over here, the Maral and the Shlah, take a different approach to the zugot over here. The Maral talks about the deep meaning of all of these ideas of the Zugot. And most of it he talks about is the contrast between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Zugot. Which is that one of the things that the Gemara says is that if you say Kriyat Shema Lamita, then it's as if you have a sword, Baal Pnei Pividiot, double-edged sword. And he talks about how the saying of Kriyat Shema and Bimiyache, the Shem Hashem, is the antidote to the problem of the Zugot. Says because the Zugot were ancillary part of creation. Hashem created things, and he says both in the physical world and in the spiritual world, they were physical secondary items that are only there because they are a part of the creation chain. And same thing in the spiritual world. There are other things that are also there only because of byproducts of creation. And he says that's what this idea of Shniot means. Shniot means that they're a byproduct. And that's why they focus on Zugot, or even numbers, is because they are Shniot, they're secondary. And so that's where their power lies in being that secondary or in the Zugot. And the antidote to that is the Yichud Hashem. The Shlah also takes an approach, something along those lines, which is that the whole idea of the Zugot over here is Tikkun for the Chet of Adam HaRishon. And that the Eitz Da'at Tov V'ra is one of these ideas of Zugot. And that's what created the problem, because it's Tov V'ra. And because that created the problem, we're always trying to be mitakin it. And therefore, Chazal were mitakin the Dalet Kosot as a tikkun for the Chet Adam HaRishon, so on and so forth. I'm not going to get so deep into the Shlah. Both of them take approach that Zugot, or we're fighting against Zugot. What's interesting about it, it's a very nice idea. The only problem with that is that our Gemara does not sound anything like that. Our Gemara sounds like we're choshesh for the problems of Zugot, not that we're fighting against the Zugot. It does not seem to be an issue of us fighting this idea of Zugot. In other Gemaras, you have that concept, or maybe you have the concept a little bit. But over here in our Gemara, it seems to be that we're worried about the Zugot, not trying to upset, not going in that direction. The Teshbet brings down that the Maram, who is the Maram Rotenberg for him, is Rebbe, says, Enu makbir al zugot, for ochel or any adavar acher. It has an issue, doesn't have it at all, doesn't mention it. The one place that it actually comes up in halacha is at the tour. In halacha to betziat tapat, for Birkat HaMazon, Simon Kuf Ayin, he talks about this issue. He says, Garcina and Perk Arvei Psachim, lo yuchal adam train, velo yishteh train, perish lo yuchal velo yishteh zugot, mishum sakana. So the tour actually quotes the issue, the halacha. The Beit Yosef jumps on it and says, I don't know why he quoted this at all. He quotes the Tosafot that we quoted before and says that we don't worry about it. It's not in our neighborhoods. So why is the Torah quoting this at all? And the Beit Yosef says, I'm shocked that he brought this down because there's no reason to have it here. The Bach, as well as the Drisha, both defend the Torah's position as to why he brought it down and why maybe it's an issue and why was he focused on Zugot. But what's clear is that the Shulchan Aruch does not quote Zugot, and neither does the Ramad, and neither does the Rambam. None of them quote anything about Zugot. It's completely absent in their halachic works. So you have the Yamshel Shlomo, Deleu Rabo, all of them say that Kevin Deidna Delo Kaptinan, or that they're not found in our neighborhoods, we don't worry about them at all. What's very interesting is that there's a shoot called the Shoot Shem Aryeh, which is from Rav Aryeh Leibush ben Eliyahu. He writes about this issue and he questions why is it that none of the halachic bodies brought down the issue of Zugot. So he says, it's because of this Tosafot We don't worry about it anymore. We're not makpid these issues. We don't consider them at all. And then he asks a question, which I still think is relevant today, and it's a very sharp question and a very good point. It says, I don't understand. The reason that you're telling me now that we don't do all these things that Chachamim say sakanto, that say that these are dangerous, and we know sakanta chamira misura, so when you're dealing with sakana, we don't take any chances, and we object to it. Yet over here, we're ignoring it. So you're telling me you're ignoring it because we're not makpid on these things, we don't care about these things, these aren't issues for us based on the Tosafot and all the other halakhic authorities until this point in time. Yet, he says, that for some reason, we're very makpid on all of the tzavaot of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid has all these tzavaot because of Ayin Ra, Ruch Ra, all these tzavaot. And he says, people are worried about all of these items, and we're makpid to like the nth degree. So he says, what ends up happening now is that all the things that Chazal say are makil on top of kula, on top of kula, and all of a sudden, then Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is tzava, and he mentions one other person tzava, all of a sudden they become mainstream, that people are so machmir for them. I said the phenomenon today as well, that people are makpid on certain ayin haras, skulot, all these types of items that are not within the body of halacha or mainstream of normative halacha, and they're so makpid on them, yet when it comes to the things that Chazal mentioned, they ignore them totally. And he just puts that as a contrast that I don't understand. He says, if you're going to be makpid, then you got to be take Chazal seriously. If you're not going to be makpid, then why are these other items becoming such a significant issue? In our generation, it's even more so, that all this idea of the skulot. So I think that's very interesting, and I think his question is a fair question. I mean, that you have to be consistent in this approach. If you're going to approach Chazal and say it doesn't matter, then you also have to say it about these other items, that it doesn't matter as well. Chavot Yair quotes in two different places. One place is he talks about the issue of not being makpid. The other place is he has a question from someone who asks him a question. He says, excellent question. Jazar Gemara said that there are no zugot by 10, because 10 was the takanat chachamim by aveilut of 10 cups. So it's for sure the chachamim won't put you in sakana, and therefore 10 cups, for sure, there is no zugot. The person asked him, I don't understand. The whole Gemara started with, why were Chazal attacking 4 cups to put you in sakana? Well, chachamim were attacking 4 cups. That means that there is no zugot. There's no zugot. He goes, why does the Gemara conclude that? Gemara by the 4 cups gives different reasons. Leil Shimurim, Kel Kol Shbirkat Mazon, Zman Mitzaref. Each one's a cup by itself. The Gemara gives all these different reasons. To explain it away. Why don't they just say what they say by Eveilut? If chachamim were attacking it, it's clear that there's no zugot. And he leaves it as a question, a very strong question against this Gemara, that it shouldn't be an issue of zugot at all. The Ben Yehoyada,
authored by the Ben Ish Chai,
talks about zugot being this Kabbalistic idea. He explains why when we do things in pairs, it makes upset the upper worlds, the klipot of Tov and Ra. And he says that that's why they were makpid on zugot. And then he writes, unbelievable thing of the statement, he says that the women of Baghdad were makpid, that whenever they cooked foods for a brit milah or nisuin, they made sure to do it bizugot. They did it with pairs dafka, because to show the Gavar Israel, that we overcame the zugot and we beat them, and therefore they go ahead and they make zugot on purpose. It's a very interesting approach which says that the zugot, we overcame this, they no longer are a problem. Not like the Tosafot and the others that say, oh, times have changed, things have changed, they don't exist anymore, so on and so forth. No, he says it as, we won. It was a battle between us and the zugot. We overcame the zugot, and therefore we intentionally make things with zugot in order to show that it's no longer an issue. Very interesting concept. There is the Gilyonei Ashash, Marie Engel. The Gilyonei Ashash claims, which is very interesting, he quotes the Tosefta from the Gemara in Shabbat that talks about Darche Mori. And over there, in the Tosefta, he quotes it as Perek Zayin, in the Lieberman it's Perek Vav. He quotes over there that a person who says that I'll only put 2 items down together, I'll only sit 2 chickens on eggs together, I'll only cook 2 items together, is Midarchei Ha'emori. Someone who insists that there are 2, that's Midarchei Ha'emori. And he claims that this idea of Zugot is an issue, or possibly an issue of Darchei Ha'emori. That's very interesting, because my angle is quoting that. He quotes it here, by our Gemara over here, in Gilyonei Ashash. But that's amazing, because if he thinks that it's Darchei Ha'emori over here, why are we worried about, or why are Chazal even metapol in it? Because he's quoting this Tosefta that seems to indicate it's Darchei Ha'emori from the Gemara in Shabbat, the Tosefta in Shabbat. If you look there in Rav Shaul Lieberman, he claims that it has nothing to do with Zukot, it has to do with the left hand, right hand. That in the Roman times, they thought to do things with your left hand was good luck, to start things out with your left hand, and anybody who's makpid to start things out with both hands, their left and their right hand. So that's what he claims was the story over there, nothing to do with Zugot. But according to the Mary Engel, Zugot is a problem of Darchei HaEmori. The most interesting approach is the approach of the Meiri, who's quoted over here. Alan told me about this Meiri, and I found this interesting Meiri. First of all, the Yerushalmi itself, the Yerushalmi quotes, and when it's dealing with all these types of issues, it says, Amar Rabbi Ami, says in Masechet Trumot, the Yerushalmi says, Amar Rabbi Ami, tzrichim le'mechush, l'man debraita chayshenshin, that you have to worry about things that people worry about. He says that if the people worry about something, you should be worrying about it. Whatever the common people think are a problem, then you should consider that a problem too, and you should be worried about it. Which gives a strength to certain of the folk practices, because if they know, if they're worried about it, they must know that something's wrong, they have a mesorah that way, and then you shouldn't just walk all over it. That's Yerushalmi, it's independent of this Meiri. But the Meiri takes a very similar approach. That the Meiri says that this was a folk problem in Bavel. And I mentioned this before, that in Yerushalmi, this idea of the Zugot is not found at all. The Gemara itself says, B'marava, that it was an issue of Zugot. Now, so some of the others claim that that's because Kedushat Eretz Yisrael prevented the Zugot and so on and so forth, but the most likelihood is it has to do with something along the Zoroastrianism, which has to do with good and evil, and Zugot, that it was something that was common amongst the population in Persia at the time, and the Meiri claims that that's the case, that this was folk practices of the time. In general, Chazal tried to eliminate these folk practices, where, for sure, if it was Darchei Amori, they would eliminate it. If they thought it was a chashash of Avodah Zarah, they would eliminate it. But sometimes they didn't have the power to overcome the folk practices. And where they saw nothing that was so bad about it, then they let it go.
Yeah, but they gave reasons.
So the problem with that idea is that here the Gemara is talking about, oh, there are real problems, that they're a part and parcel of it. So he claims it in the beginning about the Arba Kosot. The Chazal were attacking the Arba Kosot, and why they have to answer about why they did four, to tell the people why it's not really an issue, because they were so steeped in this stuff, they have to explain it. But the subsequent Gemaras don't support that, because their Chazal themselves are the ones worrying about these issues. So again, it goes maybe back to this Yerushalmi, that if the people are worried about it, then we got to worry about it. But we do see along the way in Chazal that it's narrowed down. Right? That just gives you a broad perspective of how the Yishonim and Achronim, I'll send you out. I collected them all together, I'll send you out. So you can take a look at it yourself about how they dealt with these issues of Zugot. And it really comes up today because here, we talked about yesterday some of the halachic issues, and the beginning of today is also another halachic issue, which is, Tana, uchlimu mashkim tachra mita. You have food items under the bed. Afilu mechupim beklik barzel ruach ra'ashu aleim. That even if they're covered in a iron box, they're totally sealed up, then ruach ra'ashu aleim. Then the bad spirit comes upon them. But here you have an issue which certainly would have halachic ramifications. If you can't put food under your bed, yeshiva, you keep some extra food, you put it under your bed, then how could you do this? You have a problem of ruach ra shura alehen. And many of the Rishonim quote this, the halacha. They quote this halacha that this is a problem placing food under the bed. The Yerushalmi has a slightly different girsa in this Gemara. The Yerushalmi says that Amar Rabbi Ami tzrichim le'mechush tama debriata choshishin, which is that Gemara that I quoted before. And then they say, also lemitain barnash, pritin gav puma tavshila tute arsa, pita tchot schia. And one of the things they quote is that you can't put a tavshil tute arsa. Now arsa is more like a couch or a bed, and tavshil is a cooked item. So the way the Rambam quotes the halacha, the Rambam quotes is different. Now it's the Rambam l'shitato, because the Rambam, you know for sure, is not going to quote anything about ruach ra, it's not going to quote anything about zugot. So what's the Rambam going to do with the explicit Gemara here that you can't put your food under the bed? So here's the quote from the Rambam. Rambam says, "V'liten tavshil tachar amita she'afu pisho seik besu'uda shema yipobo davar hamazik v'hu einu roehu." So he claims that it's a problem of putting it under the bed. You won't be able to see it. You cooked an item, and then you'll have something fall into the item. Something like a scorpion or a snake, something goes in there because you left it under the bed, and you won't be focused on it, and then you're going to take it to eat it, and it'll be a sakana, it'll be a danger. So obviously the Raivud's chulik on the Rambam, it has nothing to do with that, it has to do with Ruach Ra, it has nothing to do with this. It's clear why the Rambam will not go the direction of Ruach Ra, because the Rambam doesn't think that there is any issue of Ruach Ra, and they're very favored Yerushalmi here over the Babli's explanation. The truth is that the Drisha, as the Drisha points out in the Torah, that the Rambam's talking about during the meal, and like the Ran and the Rif that quote this halacha here, are talking about not during the meal, they're talking about under your bed that you sleep on. And they're actually two different halachot, and they're not necessarily mutually exclusive.
The Birkei Yosef, the Chidah, in his Shirei Bracha says, he thinks that that Hiluk of the Drisha is absolutely incorrect, because he says, L'chi didok, ata moseh, sharambam lo zachar mikol adverim shamru b'shas mipnei ruach ra'ah. He says that the Rambam ignores ruach ra'ah completely, and there's really no reason to try to reconcile between the Ran's position and the Rambam's position, because the Rambam's just not going to mention ruach ra'ah.
Turns out that the Pri Chodosh, there's an afkamina between them. The afkamina between them is if you put a cover on it. For the Rambam, if you put a cover on the dish, there's no problem anymore, because nothing's going to fall into the item when it's covered. On the other hand, we see here from the Gemara that when it's under your bed, it has nothing to do with it being covered or not covered, because it has to do with ruach ra'ah, and therefore it has implication that it would be a problem to place it under your bed, which the Raivut says it's a problem of ruach ra'ah, and he quotes it based on the Bavli. So whereas the Rambam paskins in the direction that it is not an issue of under your bed, but an issue during the meal, and therefore if you covered it, it would not be an issue. So here you see these different opinions or approaches towards ruach ra'ah and zugo come actually to a halachic ramification in terms of having to deal with this question of whether ruach ra'ah or whatever the problem is here, putting food under the bed. All right, now, Tana Banan. Lo yishte adam mayim, lo lo belele riviyot, velo lo belele shabbatot. The person should not drink water, not on the Wednesday, it's really Wednesday night, but that means Tuesday night going into Wednesday. And not on Friday night. If he drinks, damo birosho, then his life is in his hands. Mipnei sakana, it's dangerous. My sakana, what's the sakana over here? Ruach ra, that's the problem over here. If he's thirsty in the middle of the night, what should he do? My takante. So he says lema. He should say shiva kolot shamar David alamayim v'hadar nishtei, and then he can drink. The seven voices that David HaMelech says on the water, which is the Mizmor that we say both on Friday night and Kabbalat Shabbat. We also say it when we're putting on the Sefer Torah on Shabbat, which is Shnemar. Kol Hashem Alamayim. The voice of Hashem is heard on the waters. El HaKavod Hirim. It thunders. The Kavod, the glory of God, thunders. Hashem Amayim Rabim. Hashem is found on the waters, the great waters. Kol Hashem Bakoach. Hashem's voice comes in strength. So right here, we're up to number two. Kol Hashem Alamayim is the first one. Now we have Kol Hashem Bakoach. Kol Hashem Behadar. The voice of Hashem comes in its majesty. That's number three. Number four is Kol Hashem Shuver Arizim. The voice of Hashem, the sound of Hashem's voice coming, shatters the cedars. V'shaber Hashem et arzei Albanon. Hashem has destroyed or splintered the cedars of Lebanon. So right up to four now. Five is Kol Hashem Chotzev Labotesh. Hashem's voice hewns the flames of the fire. Number six is Kol Hashem Yachil Midbar. That Hashem's voice shakes the desert. Yachil Hashem Midbar Kadesh. Hashem's voice will cause to tremble Midbar Kadesh. Kol Hashem's, the seventh one is Yecholel Ayalot. Causes the hinds to calve or give birth. Yechasof Yarot. And he strips the farces. Ove Yecholel Kulu Omer Kavod. And in his temple and his sanctuary, everyone gives him glory. So you say that is an antidote to this problem of the Ruach Ra'ah in the water, because you have the Kol Hashem Alamayim, which will scare away the Ruach Ra'ah. And so saying this, these psukim will take care of the problem. Vilo, what happens if he can't say this, can't remember this, middle of the night, he can't get it all together, says, Leim Ahochi. He should say it like this, which is Lul, Shafan, Anigron, Anir Defin. Different names, whatever they are Lachash, Rashbam says. Ben Pochvei Yativna, you're sitting amongst the stars. Ben Bliei Shmine Azilna, I walk between the fat and thin people. Which means, basically, there's plenty of other food besides me. Why are you bothering me? Why don't you find someone else to bother? That's the gist of this incantation. Vilo, if you can't say this, Iike Nishba Adei, he has someone else who's there with him. You need to RA. Should wake them up. Filet Malay and say to them, Planya bar planata. I, meaning ploni bar ploni. Sachina amaya. I'm thirsty. Adonishti, and then you could drink. Because when he wakes someone else up, I guess it scares away the ruach ra'ah, because there are two people there now. Filo, if that's not the case, Mekarkesh nachtma chatzva. He should smash the lid of the pitcher on top of it, make lots of noise to scare it away. Adonishti, and then he should drink it. Vilo, if he doesn't have the ability to do that, I mean, he's going to wake up someone, his wife, and that'll be the end of him anyway. So he may as well drink another water. So nishtei bamidei, should throw something into the barrel, v'hadar nishtei, and then drink it. So again, throwing something into the barrel will cause it to scare away the ruach ra'ah, and then you won't have a problem. person should not drink water. Lo min ha-naharot, not from the rivers, lo min ha-gamim, and not from the water pools, b'layla, at night. Vim shata, if you drink at night from these water bodies, the mobiro show, you're taking a life into your hands, you're playing sakana. It's dangerous. My sakana, said sakanat, shavrirei. So the sakana of blindness, shavirei, is the targum that Unkelus brings, for instance, by Lot and the Malachim. When the people come, that he comes to Sanverim, he translates that as shavirei. So if he eats achi, what happens again? If he's thirsty, he's got to drink, he wants to drink something. Maita kante says, what should he do? Ganesh vade, if he has someone along with him, lemalei planya bar planata tzachina mayo, that so-and-so is thirsty, meaning referring to himself. And again, the fact that he's talking or interacting with someone else obviously has some impact here, that it chases away the problem. Pilo, if not, lema iulin afshe, should say to himself, planya amarli. So-and-so said to me, imei is dahar mishavrire. My mother told me to be careful from shavrire. And then, this is something that has again become popular today, which is shavrire, brire, rire, yire, rire. That is basically the abracadabra. Which is the abracadabra works that you take a word, and each successive part of the word, you drop a letter from the word, and that's how the incantation works. Right, it's exactly. The Nachman Mu'uman today that you found painted everywhere uses this type of incantation or idea in it. This abracadabra, which is this idea that you drop one letter each time from the word. So that is what is being suggested over here as the incantation to offset this problem. So you take the shavrire, the blindness, and you slowly diminish it by taking away the letters each time. Tzachina maya bekasi chivari, that I'm thirsty for water in a white cup. So that is the end of the incantation here that will take care of the problem if you have nobody else with you. Alright, now back to our Mishnah. Vafilu mina tamchoi. That even from the tamchoi that we take that the aniim have to take arba kosot. It says, psihita. What do you mean? What's the question? Why wouldn't you take the arba kosot? It says that it's a chiyuv to have four kosot. Why wouldn't you have to get the ani? You have to get it from the tamchoi. There's an obligation to have four kosot on the night of Pesach. So nitzvachai lafilu Rabbi Akiva. That you only need this Rabbi Akiva. Damar. Asay Shabbatcha chol. You should make your Shabbat into a weekday. Al titzarech lebriot. And you should not make yourself dependent on others. Meaning that you don't take charity in order to make your Shabbat more Shabbat-like, but you should keep it like chol. Hacha, Gemara says, Mishum Pesunei Nisa, because of the idea of Pesunei Nisa, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that you take from the tzedakah, you take from the tamchoi, in order to accomplish the arba kosot. So even though in general you would avoid it, nevertheless, here you would do that. Tana de Be'ayel, Afapi Shamar, Rabbi Akiva, says Shabbat Chachol, even though Rabbi Akiva says that you should make your Shabbat into like a weekday, V'al Tizterech Lebriot, despite that fact, you should do a little extra, something a little extra for a Shabbat. So even though you're not going to make a lavish Shabbat meal, nevertheless, you should have something that differentiates it from the weekday. What's this little thing you can do? Amar Papa, kasa de harsino, a little cup of fish hash. So something simple, little extra, but something unique for Shabbat. Kizdnan. Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Hari Azkin Amer, be strong like the leopard, Bekal Kanesher, and light-footed like the eagle, Ratz Katzvi, you should be light-footed like the deer, Be Gibor Ki Ari, strong like the lion, Lasot Ritzon Avicha Shebet Shemayim, to do the will of your Father in heaven. So over here you see that you always have to make concerted effort to do the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so over here, we also ask you, even though you can't really afford to do anything extra, that you do something small to make a difference on Shabbat. So despite the fact that it might be a little difficult, or it might be a little bit more, it would be mitchazik b'mitzvot, mator she'acholot b'yadcha. A little more than you can really do, you do, to make sure that you get the mitzvah done. That we ask you to take that extra effort or extra step, and that's true in all mitzvot. I think that's something, again, in our generation is much more difficult. In previous generations, they gave up so much to keep the mitzvot. They sacrificed in so many ways. Today, the question is why is it relevant to me, this mitzvah? I only do it if it doesn't inconvenience me, if it's not, I don't have to get up too early, I don't have to do this and all that. There's an idea that maybe you have to sacrifice for the mitzvot is really gone by the wayside. I'm not talking about major sacrifices, I'm just talking about that sometimes it might alter your lifestyle a little bit to keep the mitzvot. And to do things right, or to make a concerted effort to give of yourself that to do the mitzvot. Soloveitchik really takes this to the nth degree about sacrifice the gavya mitzvot to the point where one has to really give up their life or as he describes the Keter Yitzchak in this way, that you have to bring the ultimate sacrifice towards God, and that's what God wants from us, is sacrifice. And that's taking it to an extreme. But even if you don't go to that extreme, still this idea that we have to make a concerted effort to do the mitzvot, even when it's not so simple, even when it's not easy, and to do it besimcha, and to do it in a way that involves alacrity, that is important. That's what the Gemara is pointing out over here. What's very interesting is the Tur in Shulchan Aruch quotes that he was impoverished, and that he asked from his father numerous times about this memra of Rabbi Akiva of Asei Shabbat Chachol. Now, this idea of Asei Shabbat Chachol, when does it apply? Does Asei Shabbat Chachol apply when you're not taking money from Tzedakah? And therefore, since you're not going to take money from Tzedakah, then Asei Shabbat Chachol in order not to take money from Tzedakah. But if you're already so impoverished that you're going to have to take money from Tzedakah anyway, then do we still apply the principle of Asei Shabbat Chachol because you're already taking money from Tzedakah? And he says, Lo ana li aviv, he says, I never got a clear answer from my father about what I should do in this case, meaning that how important is this idea of Asei Shabbat Chachol? Does it also mean that you should limit the amount of Tzedakah money you take? Or once you're taking money from Tzedakah already, then you may as well make Shabbat different than Chol. I mean, in a significant way, obviously you're spending other people's money, but that this whole principle doesn't apply. Or if you're taking money from Tzedakah, then everything is a chol, meaning that you can't expect tzedakah to make your Shabbat not like chol. So that's a question here. When we say Asei Shabbat Chachol, how far do you take that principle? Is it a principle only when you have the way to avoid taking tzedakah? But once you're taking tzedakah, it falls away. Or even once you're taking tzedakah, do we still apply this principle of Asei Shabbat Chachol? Tana Rabbanan, Shiva Devarim Tzivah Rabbi Kiva et Rabbi Yeshua Bino. Rabbi Kiva was commanded his son, Rabbi Yoshua. This is the only time we find that Rabbi Kiva has a son in the Gemara here, is Rabbi Yoshua. Rashi claims in the Gemara in Bechorot and other places that Rabbi Yoshua ben Percha is this Rabbi Yoshua over here, because Rabbi Kiva was called by Ben Azai at one point, Kereach Hazeh. The Tosafot rejects this out of hand. He rejects it in Bechorot, rejects it over here. He says that what Ben Azai said was like a little thing between two people who knew each other well. That the fact that the Gemara is going to call, or everybody called Rabbi Kiva Kereach, is an insult. That's not something that's an appropriate term or way to address Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha has nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva. That's not Rabbi Akiva, that's someone else. And Rabbi Shua's son is Rabbi Shua ben Rabbi Akiva. Even though we never find any Rabbi Shua like that in Shas, except here, there Rabbi Shua ben Noah. Again, Rashi thinks that that is Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, is this Rabbi Yoshua. He says, number one, Bini, do not sit in the high places of the city. Now here he's warning him about sitting in the high places of the city, and learn. Because over there, lots of people traverse, and there are going to be plenty of interruptions. You're going to have plenty of bittul Torah, because too many people pass through there, and it's going to interrupt your learning, so don't do that. Number two, it's a very important factor. Do not live in a city where the leader of the city is a Tamidei Chachamim, because, as the Rashbam points out over here, the Tarid Begirsa velo Tarid Bemilei de Tzibura. They're more interested in learning than they are with dealing with the issues of the Tzibur, and they don't have their mind on these issues. When you elect somebody, I mean, don't mix. People who are learning Torah, learn Torah. People who are going to run the city, going to run the city. And the two don't overlap, because if you're going to be learning and not running the city, it's going to cause problems. Number three, Val tikanais lebeitcha pit'om. You should not enter into your house suddenly, koshka in the beit chavercha, certainly in your parents' house. Should not enter without knocking. You should knock before you enter. Now the Rashbam says, because you have a problem, Dilma Abde Milta Ditsniuta. Maybe they're doing something that is private, meaning even in your own house. People want tsniut, they need to prepare. Somebody's coming in. They need to be aware that you're coming in. You should knock before you come in. Some of the Rishonim quote over here from the Kohen Gadol, who used to have bells, that you can't come to the Kodesh anytime. When he comes, he has to be wearing the bells. And there's a warning, even when a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there is this idea that you make noise before you enter in. Should not go around without shoes, because he says over here that it's a gnai l'tamid chachamim to go barefoot. That's the Rashbam says over there, that it's a gnai l'tamid chachamim to go be a chayf, but I'm assuming that that's a general principle, but especially for a Talmud Chacham to go around barefoot, it's unacceptable. Number five is, hashkem v'achol b'kaitz m'pnei achama. In the summertime, get up early to eat before the sun, so it doesn't get hot. In the winter, because of the cold, you should get up early and eat. Vaseh Shabbat Chachol, which is the quote that we just had from Rabbi Akiva. V'atit tzarech lebriot, and not rely on others to support you. Which is interesting. Rabbi Akiva is of the Shita. He's the school that leads to what we call Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, this idea of a world of Kulo Torah, living in Kulo Torah and not being involved in the world at all, Rabbi Kiva, and then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai takes that to the ultimate limit in terms of Kulo Torah. It's against the worlds that exist at the time of the time, especially Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai versus Rabbi Yishmael. At the time, we saw that Gemara in Brachot that talks about their argument about this between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel about this issue. But here you see that even Rabbi Kiva, who says that Kulo Torah, he says, Aseh Shabbat Chachol Be'atit Tzarech Lebriot. You do it not depending on other people to support you to do that. It still says, he says, you have to skimp. You have to make sure that you're not going to cause other people to have to support you because you live the life of Kulo Torah. And he says on that, Aseh Shabbat Chachol Be'atit Tzarech Lebriot, even though he's living a life of Kulo Torah. Number seven is, V'arabim Shtadelim Adam Shasha Misacheket Lo. This is something I mentioned yesterday, which is that you should try to hook up with someone who is having a lot of good luck. So, Amar Rav Papa, when it has, you see somebody who things are going well for, Lo de Mizban Minei, Lo de Zvunilei. Don't buy things from him and don't sell things to him. Because, you know, if things are going well for him, you're always going to get the raw end of the deal. So you're better off not transacting with him. Ella, the maved shutfut ba'day. That's what Rabbi Kiva means over here, is make a partnership with him. You want to get into business with him because things are going well with him. So if they're going well for him, you may as well join the party and enjoy the benefit of his good mazel. Hashra dama Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak ma'idichtiv. So what is it meant by the puzzle? Ma'aseh yada berachta. The works of his hands you've given blessing to. Kol anotel puta miyov mitbarech. Anybody who gets or interacts with the Yov will get a bracha. That's the way they explain that pasuk. Avilu mizbanei luzvuni leishapir. Even though you've been to transact with him is good, because you'll end up with something that was his if you're buying from him, or you'll get money from him. Anything he touches has good luck to it now. It has good mazel. So if that's the case, then even interacting with him, then it would be good too. As he says, nowadays, even can't get into a partnership with him, just interacting with him should be a good omen for you, a good mazel for you. They're quoting a pasuk, Ma'aseh Yada Berachta. He says an interpretation of the pasuk of Ma'aseh Yada Berachta means that anything he touched had good mazel associated with it, had bracha associated with it. So he says even a coin that you have touched and then gave it away. If you remember, many of you are old enough now to remember when the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to give out dimes. He used to go to him, he used to give out a dime to you because that was a bracha. And he says, he used to say, give it to tzedakah. But that was the idea, that he gave you a coin that he had given a bracha. So that had a sense of good mazel, and therefore that dime was something that was imbued with a bracha. So same idea here. Anything they come into contact with, basically they could turn anything into gold. Chamisha dvarim tziva Rabbi Kiva et Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So here now there are five things Rabbi Kiva told Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Sheyach chavush bebeit asurim. When he was incarcerated, when Rabbi Kiva was incarcerated. Amar lo Rabbi, lamdeni Torah. Says, teach me Torah. Amar, eni melamdecha. I'm not going to teach you. Amar lo, imen atam melamdeni. And yomer, le Yochai abo. Malchut is a very interesting. He says, I'm going to tell my father Yochai and give you over to the authorities. I mean, he was already in the authorities. So I'm not sure exactly what he was telling him about, but I'll get you into more trouble if you don't teach me Torah. It's interesting because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, his father was obviously amongst the authorities, which is interesting. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's whole approach to Torah, Kula Torah, which is almost the antithesis of being involved in the government. That more than the baby or the young calf wants to nurse, the mother wants to nurse. It says, who's really in danger here? The ones who really in danger here is the calf. So he says, all right, I'll give you some advice. He says that you're in danger. I can't do this because you're in danger. And therefore, I can't teach because of that problem. Not because I'm in danger, but because you're in danger, and I don't want to endanger you. But if you want to know something, I'll give you some piece of advice. Number one is, Im bikashta lichanek, hitle b'ilan gadol. If you want a paskin, you want to know the halacha, get together with some big guns. Learn from the big talmidei chachamim. Number two, kshata melamed bincha, lamdeo b'sefer muga. You teach your child, you should teach him from a proper sefer, because mahi, what does that mean? Amarova v'item ramasharshia b'charato. A new one, teaching a young child the new girsa, because shebiashta came to al, because once a mistake gets in, can't get it out. Here we're talking about when they learn it by heart, they're going over, these are things, girsa, that doesn't leave. So over here he says that once it gets in, you can't get it out. So you don't want him to learn from a sefer that's got a problem in it, because that's what's going to become his lifelong understanding or girsa in this sefer. Now, Tosafot discusses over here, in other places the Gemara says that shibashta memela nafka, that it does leave and you can get rid of it. He talks about the difference between possibly Torah Baal Peh versus Torah Bichtav. Maybe there are differences. Also might have to do with how young the child is, how permanently it stays. Something that you learn when you're youth. When you're very young, it's very hard to undo if it was done wrong in the first place. Number three is Lotav Ashobik Deirah Shibisho Bach Avercha. You should not cook in a pot that your friend cooked in. Mainiu, what's that mean? Grusha Bechaye Bala. You should not marry a divorcee while her husband is still alive. Damarmar, Garush, Shinasa Grusha. Person that is divorced, that marries a divorcee, arba deot b'mita. There are four people in the bed together. I mean that all the exes have in mind their old partners, and so there's just too much going on, and therefore it's a problem. Bi b'dema, afilu b'almana. Some say that even with a widow, it's a problem in the fee. Shehein kol etzvot shavot. Because she's always going to be comparing you to her former husband. Over here, the Gemara uses it in the very real sense of in bed, she'll be comparing it, but it's true in general that there's always this comparison to the previous husband. Obviously very interesting, because the Gemara Nedarim tells us in other places that Rabbi Akiva, it seems, at least was married twice, or maybe three times that he married, and one of the people that he married was Tunnus Rufus's wife, because at that time, the Gemara there talks about how when he meets her, he cries, he smiles, and he laughs. And the laughing part, he said, I can't tell you, but the laughter was about the fact that Tunis Rufus was going to die, and he was going to end up marrying this woman. It's interesting that he gives that advice. Mitzvah v'guf gadol, ochel periot velo schar. If you want to do a mitzvah, and you also want to get benefit from it, you want to profit from it, then ochel periot velo schar. And you should eat the periot and not the profits. Which is, he suggests, as the Rashbam explains over here, it's a type of lending that was done. This type of lending, which is mashkanta de sura, where it's a lending where you lent the person a lot of money over a long period of time, and then each year he gave you payrot from the field. You get the output of that field with the money that you lent him, and that way you get those payrot, and yet you'll still get your money back at the end. You deduct something for the payrot, so it's not interest. So you deduct some of the principal, but not the full amount, and you end up getting a lot of benefit from it, and getting most of your money back in the end. What's the mitzvah this? So the Rashbam says, "We've got mitzvah he sheisha loveh schar revach shetzarich lamaot l'skorah." Because you're providing liquidity to the borrower. He needs money to do his business, and you're providing him that liquidity. So not only are you gaining a mitzvah, but you're also benefiting from it, and you'll get all your money back, because you're getting this interim payment of the payrot all the way through. Okay, mitzvah v'guf tahor. You want to do a mitzvah and still be tahor. Nosei isha v'lo banim. Marry a wife even after you've had children. Meaning that even after you've accomplished pru revu, that you should continue to be married, or that you should have a wife. So then gufo tahor. Plus, that it's a mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah because you're marrying this woman, plus you're gufo tahor. The Gemara in other places says that
Baboker
Bizroz Racha, plant when you're young,
Ubeerev Al Tanach Yadecha,
Afilu Bzakenecha, that even when you get older, you should still be harvesting the fruits, meaning that even if you've had children when you're younger, you should continue to have children when you're older, because there is still a mitzvah even after. The Gemara seems to indicate, even after you've accomplished Puravu, Al Tanach Yadecha. Do not let go, you should continue to have children, meaning that there's still a mitzvah to continue to produce children and to bring up families.
And it will keep you tahor, because you won't have any hirei or abeira, because you have a wife.
Arba advarim tiva Rabbeinu HaKadosh Benav. Four things Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi instructed to his children. Number one, al tidur b'shich netziv. Don't live in this place called shich netziv. Mishom deleitzanei avu. They are clowns. They are lazy clowns. They make everything either into a joke. They're cynical. Whatever it is that they do there, and you'll be pulled into that leitzanut, and it's not a good midah. Ba'al teshev amita aramit. Do not sit on this midah aramit. The Gemara is going to have three interpretations to that. Yigad amrei delo tigne below kriyat shema. Don't go to sleep without kriyat shema. That means don't have a non-Jewish bed. Have a Jewish bed. A Jewish bed means you go to sleep and you say kriyat shema before you go to sleep. That's one. Yigad amrei lo tinsav giyurta. Says don't get married to a giyoret. This has to do with the Gemara we saw before that. Giorim, that Giorim are kashim like sponges do, Klal Yisrael. And over there, again, the Rishonim take different approaches to that, whether it's positive or negative. Over here we have a statement that seems to be negative towards the Giorim, and based there, the Rashbam quotes the Gemara that up to a 10th generation, don't say to a Gior something negative about their original nation, their original religion. V'yigadamri aramayit mamash. And some say it really means a mita aramit, a non-Jewish bed, umishumayisid rapapa. Because the incident with Rapapa goes, he lent money to a woman, a non-Jewish woman. She calls him over and says, I'm ready to pay you back. Come over and tells him to sit down on the bed in her house. And then when she comes back with the, supposedly with the money, she goes, oh my gosh, you just sat on my child and you killed my child. He was under the bed. She opens it up and he has to run away and he loses his money because she accuses him of killing the child. So don't sit on these beds because that's what they do. He says, don't cheat the tax authorities. Don't run away from the tax authorities again when it's a proper tax, and that's the dina de malchuta dina. Don't run away from them. Dilma mishkach v'lucha, shakli mecha kol d'itlecha, because you end up in a worse position afterwards. Because when they catch you, they're going to take much more than the taxation would have been up front. So just pay your taxes, so you don't get yourself into trouble. Val tamod mifnei ashur b'shashu oleh min ha'agam. Don't stand in front of a ox as it's coming out of the agam, out of the water. V'nei shasatam rakei ben karnav, because the satan is dancing between its horns. Now, not necessarily literally, but it's all worked up, and you don't want to be there when he's coming out. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, b'shor shachor, u'b'yom nisan. We're talking about a black ox, and in the springtime. That's when this is a problem. Tani Rabbi Oshaya, marchikim mishortam chamishim ama, should distance yourself from a tame shore, 50 am old, b'shor mo'ad k'mlo enav. And a wild ox, you shouldn't be visible to him. You shouldn't be within his sight. Tani Mishmeid Rabbi Meir, reish Torah b'dikula. Even if the head of the shore is in Dikula, Dikula means a palm tree, but here means a basket made out of palm leaves, he's eating. He's busy eating. Sak leigra, you should still go up to the roof, v'shadei dargami tutech, and take out the ladder or the stairs from under you. I mean that even when they're eating, you want to stay clear of the oxen because they're dangerous. Amarav, nizad de Torah, the growl of the oxes, hein hein. Nizad aryeh, the call of the lion is zezeh. Nizad de gamla, the call of the gamal is dada. Nizad the arba, the call of a ship is hilne hai hilo hilo kulia. So all of these items is a question about exactly what they mean. The Rashbam brings down two interpretations of what they mean. One is that it's a lachash, it's an incantation that stops the animal from hurting you or causing you a problem. That's one possibility. That's what he quotes from Rashi. And then he says benir beinai sheinu lachash al gi'ara shugar bo v'lashen zelar bichol me'alav okadesh yasem lacha. It's a way to chase him away or to get him to do work for you. In that when you want him to work, you know, heave ho, whatever these are the types of calls that you make to these animals. Or, to scare them away, these are the suggestions. Amabai. Or, dag, vikos, chamin, ubeitzim, vikinim, levanim, kulam kashim ledabar acher. All these items are problematic with regards to tzarat. Or, what are the issues? Or, with regards to a piece of leather, mandagani amashcho detzalo. One who sleeps on a skin or a throw that is of the tanner. I mean, it's not finished being worked. You do it in that process, it's bad. Dag, a fish, shivuta v'yome denisan. It's this specific fish in the springtime. Kos, shirei kasa daharsana. It's the remainder, the residual of a fish hash. A cup of fish hash, you don't want to eat that. Chamin, this hot water is chamime de chamime. Mishadru ilave. A super hot stuff that was thrown onto him. If normally when he bathes, he takes very hot showers or baths. Beitzim, man demadrach aklipim. Someone who walks on eggshells, which is something that some of the Sfaradim are makbid on, and when they peel an egg, they take off the shells, they make sure to throw them out, none of them fall on the floor. Kinim levanim, white lice or vermin, man demechaver levushe, one who cleans his clothing. Lo natir leitam neyome, vavadr levushe, he should wait 8 days and then put it on. Because baryan hanach kinyin v'kashin ledavar acher. Because these kinyin are still very healthy, and they last for 8 days without you being there. So you want them to die out after you clean the bag, and you don't want them to be there. You want to wait 8 days and then put it on so that they are wiped out. Because all of these things, v'kashin ledavar acher, they cause a problem, ledavar acher for tzarat. Amar papa, beita deep beishunra, a house that has a cat in it, lo ne'o by anish below masna. You shouldn't walk in there without shoes on. My daima mishum de shunra katel de chivya, because the cats kill the snakes v'achilei, and then he eats it v'itbe chivya garme ktine. The snake has small bones in it, which is very interesting. Small sharp pieces. It v'yativ la garme de chivya kare. If he steps on it barefoot and it goes into his foot, lo nofik, it doesn't come out v'istakenle, and then he'll be in trouble. Yigadamri beit de lepe shunra lo neil beinish v'hakara. that a person should not enter it at night if there's no cat in the house. You shouldn't enter the house, my Tama. Because maybe there's a snake there, and without the cat there, you're not going to have warning of the snake, and therefore, you don't know about it, you'll be in danger. Three things Rabbi Shimon Bar Yossi told Rabbi. Al taseh mum ba'atzmecha. Don't cause injury to yourself. Mahi. Lo davi lecha dina b'hadei tlata. Don't get into an altercation with three other people. Because, dechad avi bal dincha, because one of them will become the litigant, which trace out, and the other two will become the witnesses against you. So if you have an argument and there are three other parties there, they're going to cause you a problem in court. Number two is al tamod al mekach b'shashayin lecha damim. You're not allowed to look at merchandise when you're not intending to buy it. It's a very important halacha. It's an important item that if you go into a store to browse, then you should make it either clear to the owner that you're not intending to buy. You shouldn't lead them on to think that you're thinking about buying when you have no intention of buying. Shouldn't mislead people in that way, because he's investing time in you. He has an expectation that you're going to buy it. If you never have an intent to buy it, that's misleading him up front. So you should tell him up front that you have no intent to buy the item. Ishtecha tavla al tisakegla laila rishuna. When your wife goes to the mikveh, you should not be together with her the first night that she comes back from the mikveh. Amarav, Rav qualifies that and says, that's benida doraita. That's talking about when you keep nida pi halacha of the Torah. Hov huskak mein mayan patuach, tuma mashko ziva. That's because she has a chazaka of an open mayan. Meaning that a nida, mean a Torah, in the first 7 days, if she sees any damim, she's tmeah for the first 7 days. And she's tmeah for those 7 days, whether she sees or doesn't see dam. And even if she sees dam all the way until the last moment. As long as she stops seeing dam at the end of the seventh day, she can go to the mikveh on the night after the seventh day. So there's a possibility that during that day she saw damim on the seventh day. That night, she stops seeing damim, she goes to the mikveh. So what he's suggesting, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi is suggesting over here is don't be together with your wife that night, because it's a possibility, since she had a mayan patuach that day, there's still a possibility that the dam will come out that night, and then she'll be a shomer tziyom connected yom, because she now entered into the yemei ziva, and then you're not allowed to be together with her. So take that precaution and wait the additional night to be together with her. Obviously today, where we're choshesh, that everybody's a zavag dola, and we have shiva nikiyim, that's not an issue whatsoever, because if you have mayan patuach, you can't have shiva nikiyim, and therefore it's proper to be together with one's wife on the night that she comes back from the mikveh. And if you remember, we mentioned this Gemara earlier based on the Rashi that's found back on Daf Tzadi Amud Bet, that over there Rashi says that the Harav Shemesh for a Nida is the subsequent night, which seems strange over here, because the way that the Gemara explains it over here is that you could have been together with your wife that night. The only reason that you're not together with your wife that night is because of this warning of Rishu Ben Levi. Shlosh Dvarim Tzivei Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Rabbi. There are three things that Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda said to Rabbi. Al Tetzei Yechidi Belaila. Don't go out alone at night. V'al tamo b'fnei aner arum. Do not stand naked before the candle. V'al tikanes t'mechatz chadash. Don't go into a new bathhouse. Shema tifachet. Maybe the floor will collapse. So ad gama, until when is it considered to be a new bathhouse? Amar b'shu ben levi ad yud bet chodesh. Up to 12 months. Today, if you go to the antiquities in Israel, you can see many of the bathhouses, the Roman bathhouses. The way they used to do it was that the hot water used to run underneath the floor. They had these little pillars and then the floor above it. And if the floor collapsed, there was a danger that you would fall into the hot water below, and that was very likely on a new bathhouse. So he wants them not to go in until it's well tested. Val tamod b'fnei aner arum. Don't stand before the candle naked, detanya. Or maybe b'fnei aner arum, habi nichpe. Person who stands before a candle naked gets epilepsy. Or meshamesh mitatodo aner. Someone who has married relations to the candlelight, having no banim nichvin, has children that have epilepsy. Tana rabbanan, a meshamesh mitato. Person who has relations amitash tinok yashena la on a bed on which a little child is sleeping, oto tinok nichve, that child becomes epileptic. Lomran el zohavi barshata. That's only if he wasn't a year old. If he's already a year old, late tampa, it's not a problem. Lomran el degani the hade kare. It's only true if he's at the foot of the bed. Of a gani the hade reshe, if he's at the head of the bed, late tampa, it's not a problem. Lomran el zohmanach yadayadave. It's only true if he doesn't put his hand on him. If he puts his hand on him, late lamba, we don't worry about it. Don't go out alone at night, Titania. You're not allowed to go out alone at night. Not on, again, it's Tuesday night. It's Wednesday, but it's Tuesday night. And not on Friday night. Because of this shade of Igeret Bat Machlat, he, she and 180,000 destructive angels go out at that night. By the way, Igeret was one of the things that was mentioned in one of the incantations in yesterday's daf. Igeret was mentioned there. That's from here. This is Igeret b'machvat. And each one independently has a right to cause destruction. Originally, they were around all day. They bumped into Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who we'll bump into in the Masechet Tanit about the uniqueness of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So Amrelei, he loved the Machazan Alach Birakia. Had I not heard up in the Shemaim, Hisaru b'Chanina b'Torato, be careful of Chanina and his Torah, Sakantech, I would have put you in danger already. So if I'm already choshuv up the stairs, gazur ani alecha shalot avroi biyishuv leolam. I'm going to put a gazer on you that you cannot traverse the settled areas. So Amrelei b'matuta minach begs him and says, shavakli rav chaporti, if you let me do something, you're taking away my livelihood here. I can't do that. Shavakla lele shabbatot lele reviot. He left them the Friday nights and the Tuesday nights, meaning the night going into Wednesday. Vitu, chadazima pagabe ba'abaye. Same thing happened, they bumped into Abaye. Amrelei, he loved the machzi alech birakia. If we didn't hear up in the Shamayim, hisaru b'nachmani. Nachmani is the nickname for Abaye. Ubetorato, be careful for Nachmani and his Torah. If that was the case, avisa kantech, it would put you in danger. Amrelei, ichashivna berakia, if I'm chashuv up in Shamayim, gozrani alaych ishlo tavori bishuv deolam. Again, he's saying, Gzera, I don't want you in the settled areas, in the civilized areas. Hakachazin and Abra. The Gemara says, now here we see that they still show up and they still are traversing these areas. Amrelei, hane, gzayato, ninhu, deshamte susaya, va'atu, dabri luhu. Says that's just by accident. Because when they go through the Mavo'ot, or the Shvilei Akramim, and they're on their horses, Bishamtim, the horses run away from them
into
the Yeshuv, and it leaves them there. So they kind of just fell off their horse.
And then they go to retrieve their horse in the Yeshuv.
It's not intentionally that they're found around. It just happens by circumstance or happenstance that they're here because they fell off their horse that was running away, and that's why they're found here, but you don't have to worry about them. Okay, well, stop over here.